mornings. I'm Chris Oakes, and coming up today, results from the opening weekend of the Christmas shopping season. What does the data tell us about this year's retail trends? Also this morning, To Your Health, combating the diet-obesity epidemic. The fight against costly dual threats of obesity and diabetes that can't be won with a magic pill. We have what you need to stay healthy and give the gift of wellness to loved ones this year, and what every pet owner needs to know about caring for your animals in the winter weather, and the right way to bring a new furry family member into the home for Christmas. This is the Good Mornings Podcast Edition for Wednesday, December 4th, 2024. Couple of items here. If you are looking to create some holiday memories for your family, the Ottawa Park Ice Rink in Toledo is opening up this weekend for the season. It will be Sunday, big celebration opening up the kicking off the season at Ottawa Park. Big celebration Sunday from 3 to 7. The official tree lighting ceremony is scheduled for 6:30. And we mention it because Ottawa Park's ice rink, the only open-air rink in Northwest Ohio. So that's kind of cool. That will be this weekend. And then also happening in Toledo next weekend, the Imagination Station will be screening The Polar Express in 3D. That will be next Saturday, December 14th. Two showings, 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. And that's it, just that one day, just those two showings. You realize that the Polar Express movie is 20 years old. It came out 20 years ago this year. That seems hard to believe. But I saw that and I thought, you know, we'll probably have some parents taking their kids to see the movie for the first time. And it becomes kind of a generational thing. So that's pretty cool. You get your very own train ticket and special gift from Santa. Wear your PJs to the screening, 3D screening of the Polar Express at the Imagination Station next Saturday. You can get tickets in advance. The Imagination Station website, it's $20 for kids, $25 for the grown-ups, but it will sell out, I'm sure. So if you're interested in those items. Couple of other things here. Among the first things you need to know, the most interesting and buzzworthy stories of the day on a completely different note, sales of recreational marijuana continue to be strong across the Buckeye State. The Ohio Division of Cannabis Control has released the latest numbers. Since August, sales have now topped $191 million. $191 million. You do the math, that averages out to about $10 million a week in recreational cannabis sales. $10 million a week. That is pretty impressive. Pretty impressive. You know what else is selling really strong? In addition to cannabis in the state of Ohio, Bible sales are spiking. Jason King, who heads the Center for Catholic Studies at St. Mary's University, says a surge in the sense of uneasiness is probably the reason for an uptick in the sales of Bibles nationwide. The public, he says, is looking for stability. They're finding that through faith. Also, he says at least some of this is being driven by a recent popularity in Christian influencers. The book sale tracker Circana BookScan says that Bible sales have increased by 22% compared to last year. 22% jump in the sales of Bibles this year. Kind of interesting. I don't know. I just found that to be an interesting factoid there. Newswire. Bible sales. So we're coming off of the Thanksgiving weekend. It's in the rear view now. Tomorrow will be 1 week since the big day. Maybe still you have some holiday travel to do before the end of the year. And I thought this was kind of interesting. A new survey of 2,000 Americans, 73% of couples believe that travel is the ultimate test of a relationship. If you traveled for Thanksgiving, you may be able to relate to this. 73%, 3 out of 4 couples believe that travel is the ultimate relationship test. Let's see here. They found that the best time to take a trip together is 4.5 months into the relationship. So any earlier, or presumably any later, and it's not as good. 4.5 months into the relationship, that is the ideal time to travel as a couple. Some of the things that you want to make sure that you are on the same page before you head out on your trip: make sure that both sides of the couple are compatible in their budget, their hygiene habits, and their food preferences right before embarking on a journey together. Those are the three big things. You got to make sure that you are on the same page with your significant other: budget, hygiene habits, and food preferences. So the ultimate relationship test is travel. If you've ever traveled for the holidays, you can certainly commiserate with that. Although, in the survey, it does say 61% believe that a trip reignited their romance. So clearly, we're not talking about just holiday travel here, because I don't know anyone who had their romance reignited following a holiday trip. That just doesn't happen. But oh, that was interesting. Budget, hygiene, and food preferences. The three most important things to be on the same page before you embark on any travel with a significant other. This is kind of interesting. Again, among the first things that you need to know this morning, the most interesting and buzzworthy stories of the day: employers take note of this. A new Gallup survey finds that a majority of employees have an eye out for a new position in 2025. More and more workers feel detached from their jobs, and they are looking for new opportunities in the coming year. The Gallup survey found that 51% of workers asked, 51% of the workers they asked are looking out or actively seeking a new position. So some may be genuinely actively hunting. Others are just, you know, keeping their ears open and their eyes peeled. And if something comes along, great. But 51%, so more than half, just 18% said that they were extremely satisfied with their current job. Worker satisfaction, Gallup says, is at a record low, and people are looking for new jobs at the highest rate since 2015. So, something to keep in mind if you are an employer heading into the new year. You may be losing some of your staff. Kind of interesting. And here is something for you first thing out of the gate this morning if you are just getting up, just starting your day, having that first cup of coffee. The first sip in the morning is like magic. And there is actually a literal timeline for each phase of your euphoria with your morning cup of joe. There it. I'm not kidding about this. Dr. Thomas Sanders is a professor of nutrition at King's College in London. And he says that your first sip of coffee in the morning is pure relief. And it is a signal to your body and your brain that your journey is going to percolate a while. Within 5 minutes, you are tasting the placebo effect. Every subsequent sip of coffee after the first 5 minutes, it's kind of the placebo effect. You're not actually more awake, but you feel like you are. And you have that delighted feeling. About 20 minutes in, that's when you get the energy boost, it says. Then he goes on to say, Dr. Sanders does, that the next two phases take you to the bathroom. So that's when that kicks in. And it, 4 hours later, 4 hours after that first cup of coffee, is when you crash and then crave again. So that is the timeline for your morning cup of coffee there. Your mileage may vary, but interesting. I like that, with the first 5 minutes or so, you're not really more awake. You just maybe feel a little bit more awake. The placebo effect is 20 minutes when it really starts to kick in. So there you go. Now you know. I don't know if that encourages people to drink their coffee more quickly. I mean, presumably, if you were to consume more coffee, more caffeine, more quickly, then you can amp up that timeline. Presumably, I would think, but that's what he says. There you go. Some of the most interesting and buzzworthy stories to get your Wednesday morning started.
WFIN News, I'm Matt Demchek. Your WTOL 11 weather, cloudy and windy today with a high in the mid-30s. Snowy and windy tonight, a low around 20. New Findlay-Hancock County Economic Development Director Chris Keller was on with WFIN's Chris Oakes to discuss her new role. The big topic they discussed, of course, is the big box retail store that will be taking over the center portion of the Findlay Mall location. Keller says her office will be assisting stores that have to move out of the mall to make room for the big box retailer.
We've received several calls for people who definitely want to stay in Findlay and keep their business going and without much, you know, of a transition period. So we're quickly helping them. We've also received calls from people who have space available. So we're connecting those dots.
She says the city is still not at liberty to say who the big box retailer is. Listen to her full interview with Chris and this story on our website. A proposed amendment to the Ohio Constitution would make it easier to sue police and other public employees. The Ohio Coalition to End Qualified Immunity has been approved to begin collecting signatures to get a constitutional amendment on next year's fall ballot.
The campaign intends to end legal immunity for police, prosecutors, teachers, and other public employees from civil lawsuits. The group needs 413,487 signatures by the first week of July to get the issue on the ballot. The Dayton Daily News reports that if passed, the amendment would eliminate every immunity that the government enjoys at the people's expense.
ONN's Tracy Townsend reporting. People of all ages are invited to join in hands-on fun and exploration at the next Fun Day Sunday program at the University of Findlay's Mazza Museum on Sunday. The program, which is free and open to the public, features the theme Arctic Adventures. The Mazza Museum says guests will enjoy more than 20 activities, interactive games, face painting, planetarium shows, and a visit from Santa Claus himself. Registration is required and can be completed on the Mazza Museum's website, which we have a link to in the story on our website. Remember, you can always get more news online anytime at WFIN.com.
So here we are with the holiday shopping season going full tilt now. Joining us this morning to break down the data from the kickoff of the madness on Black Friday at Cyber Monday is Ara Karazian, research lead and economist at Square. Ara, lay it on us here. Give us the results from this major shopping weekend that we just went through here.
Sure, Chris. Thanks so much for having me. So a couple things. Black Friday, Cyber Monday weekend is a really important time to get some initial spending data because it gives us a really good look at what the rest of the holiday season is going to look like from a consumer spend standpoint. Mm. And this year, we have a lot of great data from Square, Cash App, and Afterpay, and we saw a record-breaking year. So consumers coming out in droves to support their favorite businesses, kick off the holiday shopping season. A couple stats there. We saw 144 million consumer transactions over the weekend. So that's up more than 17% from last year. So strong spending growth heading into the holiday season. And the other big thing, Small Business Saturday was the largest shopping day over the weekend. So there's actually more spend then than on Black Friday than on Cyber Monday.
Really?
Not typically what people expect, but it's not just concentrated around these 2 days. It really is throughout the weekend, particularly with people out with their families.
I was going to bring that up because we mentioned Black Friday and Cyber Monday. We also had Small Business Saturday wedged in there as well. And obviously, small businesses being a pretty big part of your clientele at Square, it is good to see that people are taking to heart that message of shopping small, shopping local.
Yeah. I think you can see it from your own perspective as a consumer, right? I mean, Black Friday, Cyber Monday, typically discounts aren't really concentrated on those 2 days. They tend to occur throughout the weekend, and businesses want that, right? They don't want all of their shopping to be concentrated on one day. That's going to really, make it harder for them to sort of operate in a physical retail environment. But it's also just a pretty more normal way for most consumers to shop it's just more flexibly throughout the weekend. So a lot of the growth we're seeing over the weekend tends to be in online shopping.
Yeah. So as you mentioned, the reason why all of this is important from a business standpoint is it can point to maybe some of the trends that we can expect through the rest of the shopping season, which, as we know, is rather concentrated this year, a shorter amount of time between Thanksgiving and Christmas. Tell us about the latest trends that you are seeing, what you can extrapolate from all of that data.
Yeah, so the big changes that we're seeing, we've been focused on in-store and online spending for a while now. We've known that online is growing a little bit faster than in-store. That remains true this year. So online sales growing 21% year over year. That's compared to in-store sales growing up about 17%. So growth in both places, but a little bit of a lag in in-person shopping. Now, within online shopping, then you have a couple breakout categories, right? They have mobile shopping, so people are shopping directly on a smartphone or on an app. And then you have social media platforms now offering their own shops. The TikTok shop, for example, a lot of growth there. A lot of consumers responding to that. And finally, I'll also note buy now, pay later usage through services like Afterpay also up. Consumers looking for more choice and flexibility at checkout during the holidays, increasingly adopting those kinds of services, and businesses offering them because they see it as a way to bring in customers that wouldn't otherwise be able to reach. Mm-hmm.
Right. What about the trends that you are seeing on the discounting side of things? Obviously, that's the big thing that consumers want to see. You know, when are the biggest discounts? What are the discounts? All of that. But what are you seeing on the discounting side of things?
So prices have been on the minds of a lot of consumers and a lot of businesses, particularly as we just got out of this recent bout of inflation. And so that remains true. Discounts are a really good strategy for businesses to both bring in those price conscious consumers, but also get in the consumers who are just waiting for a good deal and really want to get one over the weekend. So average discount this year was 19%. Pretty in line with what we saw last year, but we saw online discounts were actually higher than in-person discounts. So about 21% this year for online discounts. That makes sense. Online business needs to do a little bit more to stand out to a customer. And I even personally saw this over the weekend. Online discounts were a little bit higher than the same discounts in store. Now, we also know that holiday shopping and discounts have gone beyond typical retailers. So even restaurants now using discounts. We see this in Square data. Restaurants sending out discounts, Black Friday, Cyber Monday discounts to their customers. 28% growth in those discounts redeemed at restaurants this year. And it seems to have paid off. So restaurant transactions, too, are up 12% this year.
Well, it certainly makes sense. If people are going to be out shopping, they're going to work up an appetite. They got to eat. So that certainly makes sense. It's kind of interesting when we talk about discounting. I know retailers have this sort of love-hate relationship with discounting. It's something that you do have to look at. And from a business side of things, what does all of this mean? What can businesses expect for the rest of the holiday season, and how should they approach that? How should they prepare for the remaining couple, 3 weeks here?
So strong spending data to start, and that's going to give us a really good sign of how the rest of the holidays are going to go. So Black Friday, Cyber Monday, it's really just the beginning. We're looking at week over week increases as we approach Christmas. That's typically when we see even the most sales is happening right before the Christmas holiday.
Right.
So my advice to a business is make sure your stores are staffed, ready to go. Make sure you're stocked. you're likely going to see a lot more consumer demand as we get even closer to Christmas. Take advantage of that discounting strategy to attract buyers who want a budget or those who want to get a good deal. Now, the other big thing is to make sure that you are responding to the consumer shopping habits that we already know are here to stay, right? So we know that consumers want online options. We also know that they're clearly discovering new brands and making transactions on social media channels. So meet them where they're at. Promote your products on social media, sell them there. Offer services like Buy Now, Pay Later with Afterpay. Consumers are increasingly adopting them. And finally, gift cards. This bears repeating. It's such a good way for businesses to increase revenues. We saw 450,000 sold just this weekend. It's up 29% from last year, and we typically see more right before the holiday as well. So a great way to get some incremental revenue if you're a business, and last-minute shoppers tend to be take a lot of advantage of them as well.
Those are probably the most important five words: meet customers where they are. It's always a winning strategy, but especially right now during the all-important holiday shopping season. Again, Ara Karazian, research lead and economist at Square. Where do folks get more information on all of this data?
We have a full report available on Square's website. It's at squareup.com.
Ara, thanks very much for taking the time. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me. Happy holidays.
Well, to your health this morning. Now that we're into the holiday season, often referred to as the most wonderful time of the year, it's also the most indulgent time of the year. Did you know that more than 42% of American adults are impacted by obesity at a cost of some $425 billion annually? And the rise of type 2 diabetes is a global public health issue that the world can no longer ignore. Together, health experts sometimes call it the diet-bicity epidemic. And joining us this morning is Dr. Rhonda Randall of United Healthcare. Dr. Randall, what makes this such a pressing issue? Kind of attach some statistics to this.
Well, thank you for having me, Chris. And you hit on a couple of the key statistics here. Type 2 diabetes and obesity are such closely related conditions that they're often present together, leading medical experts to use the new term diabesity to describe this dual epidemic. It's partially because people who are obese are 6 times more likely to develop type 2 diabetes than someone who isn't obese. And that number of individuals you mentioned, 42% of American adults, is expected to rise, particularly more and more young people developing obesity leading to type 2 diabetes. So as this holiday season's upon us, it's a very good time to talk about weight loss and diets as we start to get together with family and friends around food. And soon thereafter, many of us are going to be making New Year's resolutions right about our weight.
Right. Obviously, as a healthcare company, you are very sensitive to the cost associated with this, which we were mentioning a little bit earlier. And the financial impact, obviously, is significant, but it's also a human issue. I don't want people to get the impression that we're sounding the alarm based solely on the bottom line here.
You're right. We've got to take a look at this comprehensively. What it means for the health of our nation, what it means for the health of employers and their workforce, and the financial health of us as individuals as well, right? Diabetes and obesity can take a toll on our personal finances as well as it can for our employers and our nation as a whole.
Now, when we talk about the weight loss, the battle of the bulge, if you will, this year especially, one of the big buzzwords in this category, this topic, have been the GLP-1 medications that have recently been approved to treat obesity. Obviously, as you said, very closely related to type 2 diabetes as well. But you say that these drugs should not be looked at as the miracle cure, that they are not standalone solutions for obesity.
I'm glad you mentioned that. As a family physician, I'll tell you that weight loss journeys that start with a whole person approach to your health are the most effective at treating all aspects of a person's health and not just one condition in isolation. So pharmaceuticals can be an important part of that armamentarium of treating things like type 2 diabetes, the condition that they were first approved for, and now obesity. And while they hold promise, they're not the only medications approved for treating diabetes. And you're right, they are not a silver bullet. Experts agree that this drug should be used in combination with a change in your diet and increased physical activity, not only to help improve outcomes, but also to manage the side effects. These medications aren't without side effects. So if you're going to take one of these medications, we want to see you be more successful at staying on it, not stopping it because of the side effect profile, and also maintaining that weight loss after you're no longer taking the medication. Well, so we have a comprehensive lifestyle management program.
And I want to get to that here in just a second, because I think this is really important and a great resource for people. But just to kind of expand on that a bit, in the larger sense, it does seem that while millions of people are constantly trying to actively reduce their weight, be it, you know, whatever, you know, strategy they try to undertake, it just seems like we are collectively that we keep getting heavier. Is that what we are doing wrong, looking to find that miracle cure-all?
Well, you're absolutely right. We have seen an increase in obesity across every state, across every demographic, over the last several decades in the United States. And we have seen other medications and other things come about to treat obesity. But what is science and what is evidence-based and what is well-published in the medical literature is what works is a comprehensive lifestyle change. So that's increasing your physical activity, getting personalized care around what your specific goals are and other health conditions that you might have. We know that things like coaching can be very beneficial. Having access to a support group so that you're working with accessing other people who are going through a similar journey. If you have behavioral health support, some people have triggers associated with their obesity and what led them to get there. So thinking about it in that comprehensive care, if you do have diabetes, bringing that blood sugar down is very important. That's why programs like Total Weight Support, that sponsored by United Healthcare, are an important solution for employers to consider.
Right, which is what leads us into this. As you mentioned, United Healthcare, your company has recently launched this program. It is called Total Weight Support to address these challenges. Talk a little bit about how this program works.
So some employer-sponsored health plans are now offering programs like United Healthcare's Total Weight Support to help their employees and their beneficiaries on a weight loss journey. It offers features like reduced calories, increased physical activity, behavioral health support, coaching, educational content, access to social groups for others who have similarities to you, like working parents. Parents or people who are also living with diabetes. And employers have the option to choose one of two weight management vendors that United Healthcare is partnering with. That's either Real Appeal RX or Weight Watchers for Business. And then in addition to that comprehensive care, certain weight loss medications may be covered following an employee's enrollment in the program chosen by their employer if they meet the clinical criteria.
So again, taking this comprehensive approach as opposed to looking for the silver bullet, as we were mentioning earlier, where do folks get more information?
First, talk to your employer about the programs that might be available to you, and you can get more information on United Healthcare's Total Weight Support Program at UHC.com.
As you mentioned, there are other similar programs that are available. The emphasis is that this is an issue, a problem that we can't ignore, that we simply have to address for the cost and for the toll it takes on our collective health. Dr. Rhonda Randall from United Healthcare. Dr. Randall, thanks very much for taking the time this morning. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Chris. Be well.
Well, it is the holiday season, the perfect time to start talking about winter wellness and gifts of health and entertaining. Mia Sin is a registered dietitian nutritionist, has been with us many times on the program before. She has some ways to enjoy the upcoming season in a healthy and a happy way. And what is, Mia, one of the best ways, your top way for making sure that we are feeling our best? The creepy crud has already been kind of making the rounds. I've talked to a lot of people that have already been feeling it. So how do we stay healthy and feeling our best this holiday season?
Absolutely. You know, so many of us are excited for those holiday parties and special time with family and friends. But what happens? We end up suffering with a stuffy nose or sinus congestion due to dryness or allergies. So my first tip is to stock up on everything you need to provide that symptom relief. And I've partnered with Mucinex. They have their sinus saline nasal spray. It's a new product. It's the first ever saline product with a 2-in-1 nozzle that makes it possible to switch and choose from two spray settings. So there's the power jet setting, which helps to clear that tough nasal congestion, and the gentle mist setting, which helps to clear everyday congestion and soothe the nose. With this dual nozzle technology, this product can provide sinus relief for everyday allergens and irritants, or help clear out congestion associated with colds. And you can find this on Amazon. It's at your local pharmacy. And you can also head to Mucinex.com to find your nearest retailer.
The two most important words in what you were saying, stock up, because you don't want to have to run to the pharmacy to get this when you are sick. So now is the time to stock up. Okay, so we've got that out of the way. With the holiday season around the corner, this is a time for all kinds of traditional treats. You have a way that we can enjoy those in a healthier way, it says here.
Yes, well, I'm always looking for ways to put a nutritious twist on this classic holiday recipe, like your cookies and brownies. And one easy way to do that is with the Almond Breeze almond milk. It's a deliciously creamy plant-based milk. And I also heard that Almond Breeze is going to be Santa's preferred holiday drink to enjoy with cookies this season.
There you go.
So you got to stock up. Again, stock up. I really like their unsweetened original almond milk. This offers big taste. It has 0 grams of sugar. Their extra creamy almond milk has that deliciously creamy texture and less sugar and fewer calories than dairy milk. You can enjoy it by the glass or use it as a one-to-one swap in recipes that call for dairy milk. And the almond milk nog is an indulgent and rich nog. It's free of eggs, dairy, and lactose, only 70 calories per serving.
I was going to ask about that replacement of traditional dairy milk in our favorite recipes, and you say it is a one-to-one.
Yes, you can use it as a one-to-one. I love the extra creamy almond milk because it adds that creaminess that you might get from like whole fat dairy milk.
All right, good to know. And obviously, not just through the holidays, but really over the next couple, 3 months, we're going to be into the winter weather, the cold, the dry air that we get in this part of Northwest Ohio. That can cause issues with flaky skin, just all kinds of skin issues. So what do you have with respect to skincare for the winter months?
Yes, well, this time of year can really do a number on our skin, and MediHeal is amazing. It's a trusted name in Korean skincare that's been leveling up for years. They have a variety of products, including their toner pads. They have their Madicastoside blemish pads, which are a viral sensation. It's a customer favorite here in the U.S., and they're known for reducing blemishes and dark spots while improving uneven skin tone and texture in as little as 4 weeks. And then my favorite are the collagen ampoule pads. They're known to instantly boost skin elasticity and reduce fine lines in just one swipe. They also have a variety of additional toner pad options designed to treat multiple skin concerns. So, you know, this season you can look and feel your best.
Awesome stuff there. Again, Mia Sin, registered dietitian nutritionist with us this morning. Where do we get more information?
For more information, you can head to my website, nutritionbymia.com.
Mia, thanks very much.
Thanks for having me.
You're listening to Good Mornings with Chris Oakes on 1330 WFIN, WFIN.com, and 95.5 FM.
We interrupt this program to bring you a broken news alert.
The way this story started off, you'd think that it was going to be a major news event. Big, big news making headlines. Some folks in Parker's Mill, Kentucky got a big shock. Fortunately, no injuries reported after a large explosion was reported. Residents a bit shaken. Called the fire department last week after an explosion that shook homes in the area. Shook people's homes. It was huge, this explosion. So the fire department was called, responded to the scene where they discovered that it was just a gender reveal. I don't know all of the details about this, what blew up or what was supposed to happen. But it was shook people's homes. It was so big, this explosion. Shook people's homes. And it was all just another gender reveal. Firefighters cleared the scene and noted on their official report that the site of the explosion was very blue. Things were very blue. It was blue everywhere. That's really all we know about the whole thing. Shook people's homes. Wow. That's taking it to an extreme there. I don't know the whole details of what was supposed to happen, but very blue. You know, the other day we had another story of someone who is undone in their criminal pursuits because they bragged about it online. And yesterday, I think we had the story, the woman didn't brag about it online, but wrote it in her diary, and that turned into evidence against her in court. Well, here is another story, and this one has a bit of a twist. It says a Florida woman, Marlena Valiz, who posted on TikTok a haul of goods that she allegedly stole from Target, has been arrested for stealing again. The story starts in early November when Ms. Veliz was arrested by Cape Coral police for shoplifting from Target, and she was bragging about it on TikTok, posting her haul of ill-gotten gains. And now she has recently been arrested again for stealing from the same Target location. She apparently used fake barcodes at the self-checkout line to pay less for the items that she was supposed to be scanning. And once again, she bragged about it on TikTok. Once again, she was arrested. Also under arrest is an adult male who seems to appear in some of her videos, who is also present. During the incident. Some people just don't learn. You would think after the first time that happened, you would figure out where you went wrong in your scheme. But apparently, she has still not learned her lesson. Boasting about it a second time. All right. Let's see. A now former bank employee in Georgetown, Kentucky, is facing multiple charges after she allegedly stole customers' funds earlier this year. Court officials say Andrea Abner is accused of removing two checks from the deposit box at a Fifth Third Bank branch there in Georgetown and depositing said checks into her boyfriend's account. It's a master plan. Like nobody would notice. Like no one would notice this. She deposited the checks into her boyfriend's account and then later used the ATM at the bank to withdraw the funds. That was the master scheme. Police say she was arrested on November 13th and hit with numerous charges, including identity theft and a criminal possession of a forged instrument. She's awaiting her date in court. Did she not know, as an employee, that the bank had ways of tracking these things? I mean, it's not like they just go about this willy-nilly. They have a system in place to track things like this in case of just this sort of scheme. Oh, they'll never catch me. They'll never catch me. Master criminal. Did you hear the story about the famous chef? Tommy Banks is his name, a Michelin-starred chef, who suffered a loss of 2,500 pies when thieves stole his catering van. Apparently, I don't know where the pies were headed, but apparently it was like a catering job. He had 2,500 pies. That's quite a job. Had 2,500 pies in this van, and this is in Great Britain, by the way. Thieves stole the van, causing significant damage to both the vehicle and the baked goods, valued at the equivalent of $31,000. $31,000 worth of pies. Chef Banks posted online, "I'd just like to say a massive thank you to everyone. So many people have been interested in trying to find these pies." He had previously issued a plea to the thieves to donate the stolen pies, assuming that it was the van that they were after and not the pies. He said, "Please, just donate the pies to charity before they spoil and they just have to be thrown away. Just donate them to, you know, food banks or something, homeless shelters, whatever, so that at least somebody can get some use of them." But the abandoned and trashed van was recovered, and unfortunately, the pies were ruined. Chef Banks posted online, "If you are the thieves and read this, I urge you to drop off the pies somewhere so we can at least get them to people who need food and they are not wasted." But apparently that didn't happen. The pies and the trash van were all recovered. The pies were ruined. He goes on to say, "I think you are a thieving piece of you-know-what." That is really terrible. I mean, kudos for at least, he tried to get the thieves to do the semi-right thing and donate the pies to charity, but they didn't even do that. As a sad ending there. And finally, in the broken news this morning, a science story here, the broken news, involving killer whales, orcas, killer whales, who are apparently bringing back a fashion trend that they ditched in the 1980s. The dead salmon hat. I don't typically think of orcas as slaves to fashion, or whether, I don't know if killer whales even have a sense of fashion. But back in the summer of 1987, a female orca apparently started the trend of wearing a dead salmon on her head. And it was a trend that caught on amongst other orcas. The practice spread. Scientists don't know exactly how or why this happened. For whatever reason, the salmon hat fell out of fashion in 1988, a year later, and now scientists have discovered another orca wearing a dead salmon as kind of a hat in Puget Sound off the west coast, northwest coast. This is where the trend first originated 37 years ago. Researcher Deborah Giles said, "Honestly, we have no idea why this started, why it started again, or even why it happens. Is it fashion or function?" They don't know if maybe it's just a fashion statement by the killer whales. But some scientists speculate that the orcas carry the salmon on their heads to save as a snack for later. I don't know. I'm just getting this mental image of these killer whales swimming around Puget Sound with dead salmon on their head. You know, it's dead salmon hat. I know what I'm getting people for Christmas. There you go. That is today's Broken News Report. Update on the odd and unusual side of the headlines. Yeah, it is that. We now return you to your regularly scheduled programming.
Ever thought about joining the Findlay Rotary Club?
I'm Scott Holman, president of Resolute Wealth Advisor, and I'm proud to be a Findlay Rotarian where collectively we rely on the strengths of each member to impact our club's vision of uniting local leaders to influence positive change.
Our ability to influence positive change locally and around the world grows through membership. To learn more about how you could join the Findlay Rotary Club, go to findlayrotary.org and click on Join.
This message provided by WFIN.
And now your daily download, the numbers behind the news, the statistics that shape our lives. The sales figures point to a very good start to the Christmas shopping season. And while that is certainly good news for retailers, it may or may not be such good news for consumers. According to a new survey of 2,000 Americans commissioned by the financial platform Beyond Finance, about one in four people will overspend during the holidays, according to the survey, one in four. It may actually be higher than that, but one in four admit to it. We plan, we think about this, we think we're good going in, and then we overspend anyway. 56% of those in the survey say they feel pressure to spend during the holidays. 19% blame social media and pop culture for that pressure. But one of the things that I thought was interesting came out of the survey. They said money wounds of the past may play a significant role in overspending in the present. For example, 26% say low self-esteem due to their financial situation actually leads them to overspend during the holidays. Have low self-esteem, try to build that by spending money, even though they don't really have the extra money to spend. You kind of put that out of your mind and self-medicate, if you will, by spending. 21% admit that they are compulsive overspenders, and 21% cite shame arising from past mistakes as driving their current spending, which only makes the problem worse. But that's what we are doing. Lou Antonelli of Beyond Finance says the financial pressures of the holiday season can amplify those money wounds of the past, but by addressing those challenges head on, we can empower people to break free from debt and build the lives they deserve. He suggests remembering the phrase that almost two-thirds of those in the survey say that they try to keep in mind during the holiday season, that old saying that money and spending do not equal happiness. But it's tough. It's tough. And then for those who have kids, there is the added dynamic. And this was kind of interesting, too. A separate survey of 2,000 parents with school-age children finds that 77% say they feel pressure to make the holiday special for their kids by going above and beyond and constantly topping the holiday season of the year before. There's that ongoing pressure to make each holiday just a little bit better. 77% of parents say they feel that kind of pressure of topping last year. Parents are so worried about making the holiday perfect that 66% say they have pulled an all-nighter to make sure that they get everything done. Have you done that? I admit, when my kids were little, we'd be up until the wee hours, wrapping the presents and getting all of the finishing touches put on before the big day. 66%, two-thirds, have admitted to pulling an all-nighter to make sure that they get everything done. The average parent spends 5 days not getting to bed before midnight as Christmas approaches. And again, they ask where all of this pressure to make the holiday perfect for their kids, where is that coming from? 37% blame Facebook, 34% feel pressure from TV, and 30% blame it on other family members. As to how far they will go to impress their kids, some parents say they have recreated the sound of Santa's boots on the roof. That's pretty extreme. Others have covered the floor with baby powder to leave footprints, Santa's footprints, for the kids to find in the morning. So, now that's, that's pretty extreme, but not as extreme as climbing up on the roof. Dude, the sound of Santa on the roof, that's pretty extreme. and a bit dangerous, I would think. But yeah, those pressures of the holidays, they are very real, and a lot of us get wrapped up in them, according to these surveys here. Natalie Ruffin is here from the Humane Society and SPCA of Hancock County. Who did you bring with you here today?
Good morning. I brought Bixby with me today. Yes.
I am like a little off mic here because Bixby is like right in my spot. He has claimed it as his spot now.
It's the best for viewing shadows.
Yeah, he seems to be really fascinated with shadows. Like some, you know, he's looking for something that's going to come popping out from behind a corner or something.
He is. It is a little strange. It's a little bit funny, but he really just today, I mean, I'm sure it's been something of his for a while, but today is when I noticed that he really is fascinated by shadows.
Yeah, that is really interesting. Now, he looks to be maybe husky mix?
We have him as like an elk hound mix.
Okay.
But really unsure because obviously he was just picked up running stray. So we don't know like actually what kind of dog he is.
Wow. For a stray, he is incredibly well behaved.
He is.
Incredibly well behaved.
He really is a good dog. And he has like the dense fur. Mm-hmm. So, I could.
That's why I was thinking.
Yes,
husky,
I could definitely see where you would say husky, and he's got the pointed ears, but his tail curls a little bit.
Yeah.
At the end, and he's brown, like brown black. He's a really handsome dog.
I also thought it when I first saw him, when I first spotted him, maybe a little heeler.
Yeah, definitely, definitely could be.
Got that kind of build to him.
Whoever adopts him, hopefully they do a DNA test because that would be super cool to see what he is.
But he is incredibly well behaved. He's just kind of plopped down here and he is making himself at home. He's kind of a medium dog.
Yeah, he's about 40 pounds, 45 pounds.
Solid dog.
He is. Yeah. He is not just he's dense, not just his fur, but his body style too.
Yes. Now, would he do well in a home with other animals, other dogs?
We have not had him directly interacting with the other pets. Okay. Now, outside with the other dogs, he plays through the fence with the other dogs. If you do have another dog, you would have to bring your other dog in just to make sure they get along.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure about small pets like rabbits, cats. Mm-hmm. If you did adopt him and take him home, we would definitely recommend just with any new dog.
Right.
Keep them on a leash, like let their leash drag just in case they do want to play chase with the other pets. That way
you can grab them.
It's like,
That's a great idea.
No, don't.
And that kind of leads us to one of the things we wanted to talk about this morning. Obviously, we're coming up on the holidays, and I know we've talked about this before, and we would never discourage someone from adopting a new pet, but when it comes to the holiday season, there's kind of a right way and a wrong way of doing this.
Yes, that is true. We definitely do not recommend just surprise, here's a new pet.
Exactly.
We recommend if you do want to bring a new pet to your home, we recommend like wrapping all the things that you would need for a pet. Like if you're going to get a kitten, like kitten food, kitten bowls. If you're going to get a dog leash.
Under the tree.
Yes, yes. And then that way as a family, you can decide like what is the best fit for you.
Yeah.
Because I mean, it's going to be a family pet. There really is going to be one person that's going to take on more responsibility. Mm-hmm. So if you are just bringing a new pet home and the person that's going to be the most responsible does not want a pet, it would not be a good.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be good.
Again, you go into this with eyes wide open, as you always want to do when you bring a pet into the home, because it is a big responsibility.
Yes, it is.
You mentioned ways that you can introduce this or surprise the kids maybe, at Christmas time. There's the commercial that's actually on TV now where the parents are telling kids they're getting coal for Christmas. Oh. And then when they open, I don't know if you've seen that.
No, I haven't.
They open up the present and it's dog collar with coal is the name of the dog. It's a black lab.
Yeah.
It was really cute, but it kind of that same thing is, do it that way.
Yes.
It's going to be a lot smoother transition. And also, this time of year can be very busy.
Absolutely.
Again, we don't want to discourage people from adopting, but keep in mind that there are a lot of things going on already this time of year.
That you are absolutely right. Especially if you travel a lot or if you're going to have guests over a lot, it's a high stress time.
Right.
And bringing home a new pet can be stressful.
It's that stressful for the pet.
Yes.
In a new environment.
Yes. And also you, I mean, we're all friends. Some of my gray hairs are from taking care of my own pets because it's just a new, you have to kind of readjust your house. You have to. There's no way around that.
Yeah.
Your 20-minute routine in the morning is now 30 minutes or 35 minutes. You have to adjust. So it could be stressful, not just on the pet, but on you too. So you have to keep these things in mind.
Yeah. So, you know, something to keep in mind. Now, you can actually help in terms of, because you see these animals all the time. You know which ones are maybe not real good around crowds of people, may or may not be good travelers. You were saying that
Bixby is
a good traveler.
Yes.
So, you know, that, so you can help out with that.
Yes,
respect.
Absolutely. And the kennel aides that work with the pets, they do know the pets. I mean, they're with the pets the most out of anyone in the shelter.
Yeah.
And I mean, sometimes, you know, you go in with, someone comes in with a certain type of maybe look that they have with the pet, but we don't necessarily have that, but we have the personality, we have the match. So when we are guiding you to a different pet, it's we're not trying to be mean, we're just trying to do
make
the best
that,
match.
Make a good match. Yes. The other thing, and as you were mentioning, Bixby really likes the this weather. He's got the heavy coat.
Yes, he loves this.
He is a snow dog. Not all are, and that's the other thing to talk about, because we have had some really cold weather already. We're, you know, still many weeks of winter ahead. Always want to make sure that we keep our pets' safety and comfort in mind.
Yes, and especially with, like, with Bixby, some dogs don't self-regulate. Like, he could be out there for a long time, and it's like, actually, no, let's come inside, please. So another thing that's a little bit frustrating, like, when you have your own pet, you really do want to make sure when you take them outside, especially in the cold weather, make sure they're going to the bathroom, because some will just go outside and come right back in, and then they'll have accidents in the house, and you're like, what? I just let you outside. They're not going to the bathroom. They just want that treat to come back inside. So make sure that they are going to the bathroom, which sometimes means kind of like going outside with them.
Yeah, our dog will sometimes, that shock to the system. You know, I need to go out, but as soon as you let the dog out, the dog is like, whoa, it's cold out here. Maybe I don't want to go
out. Actually, I don't.
It's like,
but you have
she
to.
Still needs to.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
The other thing, and we talk about this during the summertime as well, you know, dogs not being real good at regulating themselves and overexerting themselves in the heat. Again, same thing, the opposite end of the spectrum.
Yes.
They're not, they don't recognize the effects of the cold. And, like we talk about in the summertime, where their paws can get scorched, this time of year, they can get into trouble with, like, the ice melt that
yes,
we put on.
Yes, they can. And if they, if they're licking their hands, so you're going to want to be mindful of what you're using.
Yeah.
And if you're taking them on walks, it probably would be a good idea to wipe their hands off, their paws off when you come back inside.
Or use those little booties.
Yes, yes, if they will let you. And some of the dogs, too, like if they have, like my personal dog, he has like Grinch feet, is what I say. Like when his hair grows out too much, so then the snow can get like stuck in there, so I have to wipe his hands for that.
Yeah.
So you do have to be aware of things like that.
Yeah.
And if you do have outside dogs, it would be great if you could bring them inside. Like even if they're in the garage, because they have to have access to fresh, cold water. Like water.
And being
shelter.
Right. And being out of the cold, out of the wind.
They have to have they have to have a way to get in from that.
Bixby thinks he's found something.
I know. He's like, yes.
He's definitely found something really interesting in the shadows over here. He's available for adoption right now.
Yes, Bixby is available for adoption. So if anyone's interested, you can stop out at the shelter at 4550 Fostoria Avenue. We're there Tuesday through Friday from 12 to 5 and Saturdays 12 to 3. You're also more than welcome to look at other pets available online at www.hancockhumanesociety.com.
We have that link on our webpage. Again, Natalie Revitt from the Humane Society and SPCA of Hancock County. Thanks very much for dropping by.
Thank you.
And that will finish up our podcast for today. Our thanks to all of our guests for joining us on the program this morning. And once again, a reminder, you can get more information about all of the topics that we talk about each and every day on the show at our webpage. Once again, check us out online at goodmornings.net. Coming up tomorrow on the program, are you not feeling very festive this holiday? Well, that's okay. It's actually pretty common. And just because you're having a blue Christmas, that doesn't mean that anything's wrong with you. So until tomorrow morning, that is Good Mornings for this morning. Now that you've had a good morning, go on out and make it a good day. We'll catch you back here tomorrow.